got a big couple of weeks here at Trailhead Church. I am excited. Well, good morning. Welcome to church. What a beautiful place to be. I'm extremely excited about this word that the Lord's given me this morning for our church body. Last week, I had the honor to minister at Ramoth, the Kindle the Flame Women's Conference. And whenever I got up there, I told them of a story of several years ago. Whenever we had first started the church, I think we were going into year three. If you didn't know this, I was the children's pastor until we hired Pastor Christian. And I, during that season of church planning, we left a very fruitful place into now church planning, of plowing, of sowing seed. It was hard. Really a time of growth, of needing to truly just learn what it looked like to press in. When sometimes you just wanted to quit. Anyone else, you've ever just been at a place where, I mean, I've quit things 8 million times. I don't even know. And then the Lord's like, no, you don't. Come on, here we go. We're going to regroup. Let's get back in. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. And I have something great and wonderful just for you. We're not quitting today. So during that time, the only time that I was in service, whenever we first church planted those first few years, was when I was preaching. Otherwise, I was doing kids' church, which I love kids' church. But whenever you have your own kids and you're doing kids' church every Sunday and you just can get exhausted. One Sunday, I came out of the church on 554, went into my car. And often when I would get into the car, I would sing old school praise songs to just stir my faith up in the Lord. Because I was asking God questions like, Lord, have we just missed it? If I missed it, what's happening here? What am I doing? God, this is really hard. I just got real honest with God. And then I'd start singing old songs that my mom sang to me when I was little. It was one Sunday I was in that car and I'm singing. And really, it looked just like this. I love you, Lord, and I live my life. Like, I'm just weeping. My kids are in the back seat. I'm just totally ignoring them. I'm having a moment with God. Right in the tears, right in the questions. And the Holy Spirit so sweetly speaks this, and he says, Anna, he said, I honor faithfulness, and you are faithful. It was one of those moments from the Lord that he just gives you where you cling to it and you say, Lord, I thank you. I press on. So it was during that same season that I was able to go to the women's conference at Rhema. And thankfully, my mom, she paid my way. We didn't have the money. She just blessed me with the whole thing. So I'm sitting in a section that I normally sat in when I was a student there. And it's during a time of worship. No one's up front at the altar, though. Everyone's just worshiping right where they are at. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go up front. And I want you to kneel at that altar. And I was like, wait, oh, God, no one else is. It'll just be me. And then Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, you know, he will twist a truth just enough to try to get you to question yourself. He goes, oh, if you go up there, you're going to look super spiritual. Everybody's going to be looking at you. The Holy Spirit said, I've got something for you. You know, we've got, and just to be quite honest, I'm a pastor. I hope I look spiritual. Praise God for pastors that step out and do something spiritual. And I took a step. It was hard. I took a step and I came up front and I just kneeled and the Lord refreshed me, ministered to me, and I made a decision at that conference those years ago, that I'm going to get mine. That no matter what, because I'm going to tell you, when we first started Trailhead Church, there were many Sundays that I'm the only one on the front row rejoicing and praising God. You make a decision that you're going to get what belongs to you because God has something special just for you. That no matter what it looks like, and I love that the Word of God says that if two or more, if it's just me and you, we're going to have a Holy Ghost party. God's going to do something great Because we're going to make a decision that we're going to receive everything that God has for us. And that we're not going to allow the lies of the enemy or whatever is going on around us. And there are real battles that you're facing today. True hardship, tough things. And this is where this message is birthed from. This is a message that I have preached to myself so many times. I will press on. And this is a message that I pray that you grab a hold of and receive as well. And it's a simple message, but it's a message that you can cling to. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to break down verses 12 through 14, and then we've got some places to go this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I want to read verse 12 in the Amplified really quick because it's got a piece here that we're going to apply. Philippians 3:12 in the Amplified says, "Not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own." You know, we have not arrived yet. There are things in our life that we're going through that we got to grow through. That God says, "Hey, guess what? You need me. And I want to help you to grow. I want to help you to continue forward in what I've called you to do." Often this is just awakening and arising to know, God, you have more for me. God, it's time that I find a better way. Oh, see how I put that in there? That's Trailhead Church slogan right there, guys. God, you have a better way for what this looks like in my life. So when we break this down, I want to break down some words of what they mean. The word attained here in this first scripture, not that I have already attained, or not that I have already laid a hold of or received, aggressively, actively accepting what is offered, or not that I'm already perfected, meaning not that my course or my race, not that I've already completed or finished, but it says, I press on. What does that mean? That I pursue, that I aggressively chase, that I am running swiftly to reach a goal. Not that I have already made it. God, you're still doing a work in me. You have more for my life. One of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 1, verse 6. "And being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Bless God, God has done a good work in you today. And he's completing it or perfecting it until the day that Jesus comes back for his bride. And then to lay a hold of means to seize a tight hold of or to take hold of exactly with decisive initiative, to grasp something in a forceful manner, to apprehend making it one's own. So what does this mean to me? For me personally, Jesus took a hold of me and Jesus made me his own. How am I able to press on? I'm able to press on because Jesus has such a tight grip on me and he has made me his own. So then now I am able to have a tight grip on every promise that God says belongs to me. Now I am able to have a tight grip on those things where you're like, "Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out." Or maybe you simply say, "Lord, I'm quite unhappy." And he says, "I've got a tight hold on you today. I want you to hold tight to me. I want to minister to you today. I'm going to show you how to press on." And for me, the beginning of pressing on is knowing that Jesus has a hold on me. Such a tight grip. Woo, I can picture it. And I'm so thankful. I love in this set of scripture that he talks about forgetting those things which are behind. He said, one thing I do. Maybe your one thing today is you got to forget some things and allow the Lord to truly come in and to heal some open wounds. Or you've just been thinking about something that you need to stop thinking about. And allow God to renew your mind with his word. Been holding on to past hurts, past failures. Anyone else, you've held on to failures for so long that I had 1 year, everything I did, I just felt like I was a failure. I drove Josh crazy. It was such an attack of the enemy on my life. He would look at me and he was like, okay, what is going on? No matter what I did, well, it was truly just an attack of Satan on my life. And here I am entertaining it, thinking of everything, just everything. I couldn't do anything right. One day I was talking to the Lord about it because I was awakened to the fact that I was dealing with this, okay? I knew it. I wasn't happy about it. Have you ever been awakened to something you're dealing with and you're not happy about it, but you're still going through it? Then you're even more mad at yourself that you're still going through it. I said, Lord, I'm tired of me. And the Lord so sweetly, he said, Anna, I love failures. And he said, but you're not one. Bless God, but even if I was, he loved me. And what rose up out of me that day was, I am not a failure. I press on. That was a word that I clung to from the Lord. He says that you're going to have to hold tight. Today, I believe the Lord's going to give you a word to hold tight to. A word to cling to. A word that you're going to say, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. And Lord, I am pressing on. Because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired and feeling this way. I'm sick and tired of wanting to quit all the time. I'm sick and tired of not being fully joyful in this season of what God has for my life. And then when he continues on, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. That upward call is a heavenly call and a heavenly blessings. So whenever we forget those things which are behind, the word of God tells us, and we read this in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ Jesus, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, or those heavenly things. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The enemy will use thoughts of your yesterdays to tempt us to never fully embrace our today. He'll use all those thoughts of your yesterdays. Well, should have done this or I missed this. And really, it's a temptation that you don't have to give in to, that you can make a choice today to say, oh no, wait, that's a vain imagination. The word of God says that any vain imagination that would try to exalt itself above the name of Jesus, I'm to take those thoughts captive and to put my mind on the upward calling of Christ Jesus in my life. Heavenly blessings. When's the last time you thought of the heavenly call that's been upon your life? When's the last time that you thought of the heavenly blessings that God just wants to pour out on you? In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing, everything you need. He's got an open heaven for the upward calling, but you're going to have to make a choice today to get your mind not on things of this world and those worldly things. It's going to bring you to bitterness, to be unhappy, that you're just not enjoying what God's doing in this season, to make you look and see everything that's wrong. I'm a finder. My husband's a dreamer. When we did this, one of those personality quizzes with the staff years ago, and it helped our marriage tremendously. It really did. Because it showed that he was a dreamer and that I was a finder and that I wasn't his dream killer. He only saw me as his dream killer. But he was able to say, oh, no, Anna actually is on my team. When she's gathering all these things, it's because she loves me. And then I had to realize, hey, he can only handle so many findings. Okay, keep your mouth shut. All right, that's on you, sister. Still working on that. Once again, God's growing me, right? He's doing a work in me. And I'm so thankful, but I am so thankful that I can keep my eyes on Jesus. And that as we're choosing today to say, Lord, I press on, we're choosing to really say, God, and I keep my eyes on the Lord, on that upward calling that you have with your heavenly blessings, and I'm going to cling to and grab a hold of it so tightly. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings. We're going to talk about a dear woman in the Word of God today. 2 Kings chapter 4. There's three things that the Lord has given me that I want to minister out. And whenever he ministered this to me, often we can look at three points in a message as, well, first I have to go to point one in order to get point two, and then I can have point three. And the Lord said, I want you to tell everyone today that that's not what this looks like. That this looks like a good piece of triple chocolate cake. That as you go down, that you get all three layers. And then he said, because it's time to feast at my table. It's time to feast. Many of us, we find ourselves snacking. This is not a time to snack. And I love to snack. I get in trouble for it all the time. I eat a full meal before my meal. It's time to sit down and to feast at the Lord's table. And to allow the Lord to come in and just... Man, we're sitting in the presence of our enemies. And God's coming in and he's just filling us up with everything that we need. And the three words, we'll go through them in just a second, that the Lord gave me to walk through today in pressing on is that I remain, I receive, and God, you restore. Remain, receive, restore. We see this precious woman in 2 Kings Chapter 4, the Shunammite woman. This is a woman who was barren. In that day and age, to the outside world, she would deal with the stigma of not looking whole. Have you ever felt that you weren't whole? Have you ever felt that what you had wasn't enough? What I love so much about her is she made a decision to use her God-given gifts and talents, that no matter what she had, she made a choice that, Lord, I'm going to remain in you. We see in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. Isn't that just like a woman that knows how to cook? No, you're going to come to my house. I got some food for you. No, okay. All right, I got a casserole. No, people that can cook, they don't care if you want the food or not. They know it's good, and they're going to give it to you. I love those people because you're like, oh, yes, no. All right, I'm with you. It was often as he passed by, he would turn in there and eat some food. She said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her and she stood before him, he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. He said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, when Elisha had told her. Reaching forward is remaining faithful one day at a time. In her faithfulness to remain with the Lord, in her faithfulness to say, Lord, you know, I'm going to do, even though I have a stigma of the world looking of what I don't have or who I'm not, I'm going to give what I do have unto you. I call this the first HGTV moment. She filled that whole room, lampstand, table, chair, bed, like she's doing it all, feeding them food. That's what she was able to give unto the Lord. In John chapter 15, verse 7, a part of remaining, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. In remaining with the Lord, it's saying, Lord, I'm choosing to remain faithful to your word. I'm choosing to remain faithful to the call that you have on my life. God, I'm choosing to remain faithful to what you're speaking to me. And what's so beautiful about this woman, because the first thing that the enemy wants to do is isolate you from God's purpose and plan for your life. She very well could have said, you know what? God can't use me in this. I'm not enough. Or Lord, what do I have to give? And in choosing to remain her one day at a time, I love the scripture because I love that little set of verse where it says, one day. God, I'm going to remain today faithful. God, I'm going to remain today in your word. What's the word the Lord has given you to hold on to right now? And in remaining, something that she felt God could not do, he comes in and he does exceedingly abundantly above all she could ask or think. A dream that had been dormant in her life of having a child. It tells us her husband was old. In her mind, this is impossible. But when you remain with God, when you abide in his word, he said, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. God, you are faithful. Lord, I'm going to cling to you and I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. I believe that there are dreams waking up on the inside of you that over the last couple of years have lied dormant because you just think it seems impossible. There's callings and giftings. Why? Because the body of Christ needs the church to rise up and to remain faithful in the word of God. To remain faithful as servants of the Lord. To say, I'm not going to take the title or the stigma or what the world is trying to tell me who I am. I'm not going to allow past hurts or past sin or past failure to determine my one day today. And don't you agree it's often just one day at a time? Man, when I start getting concerned about tomorrow, y'all, I'm crazy. But when I focus it, Lord, what can I do today? How can I be faithful today? So here the Lord comes and just blesses her. I love that, like, Lord, no, it's too much. Have you ever said that to God? This is where we have to be willing to receive. Several years ago, I told someone that I was a good receiver. And then the Lord put it to the test the next week. I said, yeah, I'm a good receiver. I believe I'm a really good receiver. And the next week, a dear woman here at church, she said, the Lord told me to bless you. And I want to bless you with something that really means something to you. And she blessed me with someone coming in to clean my house. I'm an okay housekeeper. I mean, it's clean, but sometimes I just move piles around. I get distracted while I'm doing it. All of you people that just can sweep through a room, I love you. Give me a hug. Maybe you'll rub off on me. But my home is comfortable. You'll walk into my house and you'll feel good about your house, okay? That's what my house looks like. It is comfortable. And I looked at her and I said, I don't know if I can receive this. It overwhelmed me. And then I realized I'm not such a great receiver as I thought I was. Often we're so used to just pouring that we have a challenging time receiving. I want you to turn your Bibles. You can put that scripture there, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Because we need to recognize what God is giving us. He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Every morning before I put my feet on the ground, I say, Lord, I receive every good gift that you have for me today. God wants us to receive every good thing that he has for us, not because of who we are or what we've done, but just because of how good he is. God wants to awaken dreams in areas that have been forgotten. And really receiving is obedience. Saying, God, I believe you have more for my life. I wrote some things down about receiving that often we have a challenge receiving in life. Receiving compliments. You say, oh, I'm a good receiver. My husband, he'll give me a compliment and I'll go, oh, wait, oh, I need to do my eyebrows. I'll say something crazy, like right after he says it. He goes, stop, just receive this compliment. We immediately want to come up with something negative about ourselves. Do you believe that's godly? No, thank you for that one man that said no, that probably gives his wife compliments and she does the same thing. Friendships, you are worth the investment. And I know it can be hard to open your heart to people, but God wants us to receive friends. Healing, don't allow your pain to be a safety net. Often we get so caught up in the pain of where we've been, emotional or physical, that becomes a safety net in our life. And we no longer are believing God, knowing that he could heal us, spirit, soul, and body. Blessing. Why? Just because he loves you. The Lord has done some blessings for me this year. Really, just because he loves me. Really. I'm speechless, which is big for me. Just because he loves me. Restoration. Knowing that God is the master restorer. Receiving revelation. It's time to grow. Wake up and grow. Receiving correction. It means we stay teachable. Receiving rest. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Psalm 16:9 is a word that I've been remaining in, that I am also receiving. It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiced. My flesh also will rest in hope. Psalm 16 is beautiful, the entire psalm. I love it. This scripture jumped out and just, poof, Holy Ghost sucker punched me. He said, hey, you are not resting in your flesh. He actually told me that I was thorny. What are thorns? Well, we know in the parable of the sower, cares and worries of this life. He goes, you got some thorns, some things you've been believing God for, but you're allowing cares and worries to come in and to choke it out. I want you to let your flesh rest and what you've prayed for. I want you to rejoice and be glad. He says to rejoice and be glad. Wouldn't it be wild if we just had a church that rejoiced in the Lord? Wouldn't it be wild if we were just glad right in the middle where we say, Lord, I'm going to count it all joy. And Lord, that you are glorified right in the middle of this hot mess. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. And Lord, I have prayed, I am praising, and my flesh is going to just rest right in this hope. A part of my flesh resting in that hope was receiving from God a word knowing that everything was just going to be okay. And then he also told me to be quiet. He said, I want you to be quiet. And I said, okay, Lord. And I've been 95% good at it. Thankful that God's mercies are new every day. Still, praise God. Are you receiving today? Knowing that God sees you, God loves you. And what's the word of the Lord that you're clinging to say, God, I'm pressing on? We continue with this woman and her son ends up dying. The dad brings her son to her. I love the picture this paints. He sits the son right on her lap, and the son passes away. And this woman made a choice. Right? And the faith doesn't deny what you're believing God for. Faith acknowledges what you're believing God for and then takes your hind into the word of God for you to stand on God's word of the promise that he has given you. So what does she do? She takes her son and places him on the bed of the man of God in the room that she had prepared. Meaning in her moment, that's why this is a triple layer cake, y'all, that in her moment of remaining with God on that one day, in her moment of receiving that blessing that God had for her, God already had a room prepared for restoration. That she wasn't preparing for burial, but she was preparing for resurrection. That you have resurrection power living on the inside of you. And so what does she do? She tells her servant, I want you to saddle that donkey because we're going to the man of God. It was a 15-mile ride. This wasn't just around the corner to the Dollar General, you guys. She had 15 miles to think of the what ifs. Well, what if I was out there? Or what if I wouldn't have allowed my son? What if I would have given him more water? What if this? What if that? Haven't we gone there before? She had looked at her husband and she said, it is well. She goes before the man of God, and I love so much that she says, oh no, because he was going to send Gehazi back, which he did. She goes, no, I'm not going without you. I'm not leaving without you. And whenever she first started coming to him, he asks her, how's your family? He goes through the whole line. It is well. It is well. This morning, we're going to walk out of here saying, Lord, it is well. No matter what it looks like, no matter what I'm facing, I'm not preparing to quit. I am preparing to press on. Knowing that your resurrection power is at work on the inside of me. And now she's with Elisha saying, hey, I'm not going back without you. Did you know as a child of God, you were able to go to the throne room of grace because of Jesus? You don't have to run to Elisha. You yourself are able to walk out of here and say, Lord, I come to you and I thank you that I am holding fast and clinging to your word, knowing that it is well. Some of you, you've been afraid to go to the mailbox because of bills. You're going to walk out to that mailbox and you're going to say, it is well. You're going to go to the doctor's office this week, and before you step out of your car, you're going to say, Lord, I thank you that it is well. That you're going to look at your marriage. If you feel like some things have been dormant, have really just been lost, Lord, it is well. And you're calling. And that upward call that God has for you. God, I thank you that it is well. And Elisha comes back. He lays on that young boy. I like it. It says he shuts the door and he goes in and prays. And he even told Gehazi, he said, don't talk to anybody on your way back. That's where the Lord said, stop it. Where we've got to get in and stop talking about the problem, but get our eyes focused on Jesus, that he is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I thank you of what you are doing and what you have done, that I'm choosing to press on and be a doer of the word of God, knowing that it is well, and that God, you are the master restorer. He gets up, he lays. I can't tell you how many times I've gone in my kids' rooms and laid my hands on their pillows and prayed. Spoke a blessing over their life, over my home, over myself. God, I thank you that it is well. He gets up, walks around the house, comes back in, does it again. The young boy sneezes 7 times, I believe. And he brings mama in there and she just falls at his feet. Knowing God's resurrection power. Our third thing this morning is restoration. I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 3. And I want us to read verse 10 here. I love this scripture. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being confirmed to his death. That I may know him. Hey, if he says that there's the power of his resurrection, that means there are areas in our life that need resurrected. Right? It's time to wake up and realize there are areas in my life today that need resurrected. God, that I need to press on in. That you want to do something greater than I could ever imagine. What I love so much about this precious woman, her story doesn't stop there. You see, in 2 Kings chapter 8, Elisha had warned the woman that there was going to be a drought. And so he tells her, hey, you need to get out of here. She goes to live with the Philistines. What's really cool about God and knowing that he is the master restorer, she just happens to be with the king, okay? She returns in 7 years and she's making an appeal for her land. And on this one day, guess who also just happens to be there? Gehazi. And the king wants to know all the great things that God had done through Elisha. And he is able to look at this woman and share the testimony of God's faithfulness. And the king said to her, in verse 6 of 2 Kings chapter 8, and when the king asked the woman, she told him, she testified of God's faithfulness. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until the day now. That as we get in and say, Lord, I am pressing on with you. I choose to remain in you. I choose to receive from you. God, you are the master restorer. His favor surrounds you as a shield. And it's a testimony of God's faithfulness. This is who God is. I want us right now to just close our eyes. And I want you to begin to talk to the Lord about areas in your life. Or if there's one specific area that you recognize out of this word, Lord, I thank you. One, that you've given me a word and I'm choosing to cling to it today. Or maybe you say, God, I've been holding on to things, weights, past sins, past hurts, past failures, and I need to let them go this morning. They do not belong to me. The word of God says today is the day of salvation. Make a decision today that you're going to get what belongs to you from the Lord. That you're going to be a receiver today. That you're going to cling to all that God has for you and allow the Spirit of God to awaken that upward calling of Christ Jesus in your life. And to hold fast to that confession of faith without wavering, knowing that God is faithful in what he has promised. He's not forsaken you. You're not abandoned. You're not alone. He is there lifting you up with his right hand, that right arm securing you, your family and your future. Make a choice in this moment to commit yourself to God. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, and you want to make him Lord over your life, I'd like for you to raise your hand right now. I want you to acknowledge, I need Jesus. If that's you, just lift your hand up. Maybe you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you recognize that you have fallen away from God, if you are not living God's best. You'd really like to just recommit your heart to the Lord. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Just say, Lord, I want to recommit my life to you. God, you have more. And I want to receive more today. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Praise God. Whew, God loves you so much. And he's right here for you. We're going to pray this prayer together. And those that have raised their hands, I see you, you see me. at the end of the service, I want you to go to that prayer room. I've got prayer workers that are going to be in there. And they're going to pray and agree with you this morning. Amen. And we're moving forward. We're pressing on, aren't we? We're making a decision that Jesus is Lord. And he's Lord over all. But I want us all to say this prayer together. And if you're watching online and you're praying this prayer, let us know. Because we want to come in agreement and stand with you as well. Say, Heavenly Father. Everyone say together, come on, Heavenly Father. I love you and I thank you for loving me. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for all of my sins and that he rose from the grave so that I can be saved. Forgive me, wash me, make me new. Lord, I belong to you. I thank you, Lord, that I receive every good gift that you have for me today. And I love you, and I receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Aren't we so thankful for the Word of God this morning?